Welcome to the first sermon in our sermon series entitled Playlist. This sermon series teaches how songs can help us connect to the reality of God and inspire us to live the Christian life. Today's sermon title, Songs of Comfort. Open your Bible to Psalm 118, verses 14 through 16, and let's begin.
You can go ahead and have a seat. Would you bow your head in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, we just want to take a minute and say thank you, Lord, for your love and for your grace and for your kindness towards us. Father, I pray you would give us hearts that just continue to appreciate it and grow in gratitude. And today, Lord, we pray that as we start this new series today, that you could help us to take back our minds. And Father, that we could have the mind of Christ and we could feed it on your truth and not the lies and brokenness of this world. And Lord, we pray that it would prepare us to be the people you want us to be and to do the things you want us to do. And we pray you would be glorified in it all. In Jesus' good name, amen. So we're talking about playlists today. And we're talking about really what are the songs, what are the ideas that are playing in our minds? Because if you're like me, maybe you've created some different playlists on your iTunes account. You know, I have a workout playlist and it's got a lot of like Taylor Swift on it and just kidding. And I have like a sermon prep playlist, and it kind of helps me to think about God and that sort of thing. And then, you know, just a playlist that's fun, that has a lot of good barbecue or summer songs or whatever. And the different lists, they create a different atmosphere. And the same thing happens in our lives. And that's what this series is all about. It's about taking control of our thoughts to create a new atmosphere in our lives. And learning to understand that just like you can control the playlist on your iTunes account, we can also learn to control the playlist that is happening in our lives and that is creating a certain kind of atmosphere. You with me on this? So that's what we're going to dig into for these next 4 weeks today. I really want to introduce you to the idea and give you a framework to think about this, and then we'll talk more specifically about what this looks like. And to get us started, I want to share with you a story from 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, page 251. There's some Bibles around you if you want to look on. But in this story, we're going to see the ancient King David, who is also a great musician, we're told, a great songwriter. You know, he's probably better than Bruno Mars and Drake and Ariana Grande. No? He was a great musician, a great poet. We have many of those songs that we call the Book of Psalms. We're going to look at one of those today. But we're going to see this time in his life where everything is going absolutely wrong, but he changes the playlist. He changes what's going on inside of him, and it prepares him to respond to a very, very difficult and challenging situation. I think there's a lot we can learn from it. So here it is. Here's what happened. David was greatly distressed. And here's the context of why he was greatly distressed. At this time in David's life, he was basically the leader of this small militia. And they were essentially deemed outlaws, but for not a just reason. They were really being sort of persecuted and attacked by the king for some really, really bad reasons. So they were always on the run. They were always just trying to fend for their own lives and to feed their families. And they were in a terrible situation. They hadn't done anything wrong. And so what happened is as they were out getting food and trying to protect their family and loved ones, they had a camp where all their wives and kids were and all their possessions. And while they were gone, someone else raided that camp, an ancient people named the Amalekites. They took their wives and their children and all their stuff and went off with it. And so David comes back from his own exhausted journey with his men, and he comes back to his family's gone, his wives are gone, his kids are gone, all the stuff that he has is gone, and the same goes for all the men who have been riding and fighting with him. Can we say that's a bad day? That's a bad day, isn't it? And it got worse because the people, well, they wanted to stone David. They were were so upset and so distraught and so frustrated that the only thing that made sense to them is, hey, let's find some big rocks and aim for David's head and maybe we'll feel better after that. And they were all bitter in Saul, each for his sons and daughters. So that's the atmosphere that David's in this moment. All that he loves, all that he has been ripped from him. And the men that he's been entrusted with, the same deal has happened. They want to kill him. They don't know what to do. But then look at this verse. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And this is where everything in the story changed. Here David is in this terrible, terrible situation, but he strengthened himself. We could say he changed the inner playlist, if you will. He began to see things through a different perspective and draw on a strength outside of him. And we're not going to get into the whole rest of the story, but it turns out well after this moment. David goes and they get their wives and their children back and they get their stuff back and God leads them and God helps them in this moment. But that was the turning point. When something inside of David switched, that's what changed this situation. And that's the same thing that can change the situations in our life. You with me on this? And this is what this series is about. So there's three aspects of this I want to talk to you about today. Just from this story, I want to talk to you about the dynamic that was at work here. Then we're going to talk about diet. I know everybody's favorite subject. No, not that kind of diet. We're going to talk about your mental diet, all right? What we're feeding our minds and our hearts. And then I'm going to introduce to you a new discipline to practice in this. Sound good to you? Dynamic, diet, and discipline. Let's talk about the dynamic at work here. And this is what we need to know about our own internal worlds, that the atmosphere of our lives is ultimately created by the accumulation of our thoughts. That the playlist that is on repeat in your mind, in my mind, that accumulates over time and it creates an atmosphere in our lives. You with me on this? And this is a very important dynamic to understand. Because what's really more significant in life is, again, not what happens to you, but what happens in you. David had a horrible experience happen to him, but it didn't ruin him. It didn't destroy him, even though it had the potential to. You saw the situation. That's bad news. But it didn't ruin him because he had created a different atmosphere that he could enter into, that he could reconnect with God, and that he could live differently from. And right now, whether we realize it or not, we're creating an atmosphere in our life. But here's the deal. That dynamic is either helping you or it's hurting you. You tracking with me? It's either empowering you for the things that God has for you, for the purpose that God has for you, or it's really diminishing you. And it's causing you to live and maybe more fear than you need to, more insecurity than you have to. And it will stunt us from the full life that God has for us. So we have to understand that dynamic. And let me just say another thing about this dynamic is that if you don't take control of it, it will naturally be bad. The dynamic will naturally be bad if you aren't intentional about it. If we allow our minds to run with any thought, to just keep replaying any scenario or any thought, and we never question the validity and the truth and the health of those thoughts, and we just kind of follow wherever our mind naturally goes, it will always create an unhealthy atmosphere. Which is why we have to take control of the dynamic. You with me on this? Let me give you just an example of one of these moments that happened in my life. Several years ago, you ever have like a thought that you just can't get rid of? Like it just overwhelms you? One of the times that this happened to me is several years ago, I got up to preach and I had been sick that week. and I was dehydrated. I was taking a lot of medication because I was sick, and I got up to preach, and I was about a quarter through my sermon, and I started to get tunnel vision. I saw white around my vision, and it started going in and out. And then as that was happening, I realized, oh my gosh, I'm about to pass out. But I was up in front of a lot of people and I was preaching. So I was terrified because this is an embarrassing thing, right? I don't want to pass out right before you. You might get a kick out of it, but but I won't. And I kind of fought through it and was able to finish the sermon. And I was like, man, that's never happened to me. That was really, I did not like that at all. And then what happened was, that experience got lodged in my mind. And so, church, I'm not kidding. For months after that, every time I would get up to preach, I would feel that same way. Even though I was fine, I wasn't sick anymore, I wasn't dehydrated, I wasn't taking any medication, but I would get up and I'd be like, oh, am I going to pass out? God, please don't let me pass out. Please don't let me pass out. Please don't. And I'm trying to preach while I'm begging God to not let me pass out. Even though there was nothing wrong with me, physically, I was fine, but that thought had just gained so much dominance in my life and in my heart that it was messing me up. And so when you're just trying to not pass out and that's like the win for your sermon, you don't preach that well. You get what I'm saying? That was just get me through this, God. I'll never sin again. I'll be nice to everyone. it doesn't work that well. And that's what happens. Now, that's kind of a very unique case, but there is going to be some ways where our thoughts will control our lives if we don't try to control them in a very negative and unhealthy way. And it took me a while to actually break that dynamic. I'm actually feeling woozy right now. No, just kidding. But that's how it works. That makes sense. So you have to own the dynamic or it will own you. You got to take control of it, or it will control you and it will control me in a negative way. And so how do we take control of it? Well, this is where we have to understand our mental diet. What are we feeding on mentally? What is driving our thinking? Where are we drawing our ideas and our most dominant thoughts from? And I think there's ultimately comes really two places where we look. And one I'm going to call the place of misinformation. I thought that sounded nicer than lies. You might be more open to it. Misinformation. The other place is a place of truth. And what happens in life is we don't pay attention to our mental diet, to what is running through our minds. And we don't feed on truth, we feed on misinformation. We see the world through our own insecurities and fears, and those insecurities and fears become the place that run our minds. And so we're on a constant diet of our own insecurities and fears, and guess what? That's not a good diet. That's not going to produce a healthy atmosphere. But truth is something that will. And that's what this series is about, is learning to feed on truth. Several years ago, that documentary came out, Super Size Me. Anybody remember that? The guy tried to eat McDonald's for like a month and see what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. That was not a mystery, right? I've never thought McDonald's is going to make your body healthier. It's good. Sausage, egg, McMuffin with cheese, come on. It's delicious, but it's not healthy. And sure enough, this guy ate it every meal, every day, and his body was a wreck in a pretty short time because your diet matters. It's either helping you or it's hurting you. The mind is the same way. Our diet matters, and it's either helping us or it's hurting us. So take a minute and think about in your own heart, in your own mind, what are you feeding on? And what gets tricky is many times we think the voice of our insecurities and the voice of our fears is the voice of truth. But it isn't. We think sometimes our painful past experiences that want to keep shouting at us is the voice of truth. And it's not. And if we allow ourselves to consistently be on that diet, then we will inevitably create an unhealthy atmosphere inside of us that we live from. You tracking with me? But when you inject truth, it's a radical shift. I read recently this week about Martin Luther King Jr. when he first started the civil rights movement and he was first getting going. This is like the mid-1950s, and kind of trying to take on that struggle that he took on, as you can imagine, was unbelievable, the obstacles before him. And as he was starting, it was so incredibly discouraging. You know, they were starting with a bus boycott, and they were getting all the African Americans in town not to ride the bus, but to carpool. So he set up an extensive carpool network for thousands of people. Can you imagine just trying to do that? And not only that, he was fighting legal battles. People were calling him and threatening to kill him just at his house. He had a young baby girl that was just born. I mean, it was one of the most stressful circumstances that you could imagine. And finally, one night, it just got to him, and he was done. And he tried to quit several times. He tried to give up his leadership, and people just said, no, we need you. Stick with it. And one night, he was at his breaking point. He came home late. Someone called him on the phone, said, hey, I'm going to blow up your house. And he's just like, man, I'm done with this. And he sat at his kitchen table, and he brewed a cup of coffee, and he began to pray. And he said, God, help me. I'm struggling here. If this is what you want me to do, show me the way. Lead me in this. Help me. And he said, in that moment, God sort of whispered to his spirit, not an audible voice, but an impression on his heart and his mind. He said, Martin Luther King, stand up for justice. Stand up for righteousness, and I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. And he said, in that moment, everything shifted, just like David. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Everything shifted. And he said, ever since that moment, for the rest of his struggle, whenever he would get overwhelmed, whenever he would be afraid, he would go back to that moment where he believed he heard the voice of truth. And he would feed that to his mind, and it gave him the courage to fight the good fight and continue moving forward. But it was moving from a diet of fear and a diet of the ugliness of the world and the overwhelmingness of his problems to a voice of his Father who loved him speaking truth, and he grabbed hold of that. You with me on that? The diet of our minds matters immensely. And we have to take it serious. And that's where the fight is really won or lost. And so now let me give you a new discipline to think about how to feed truth to your mind. Let me give you a new discipline today. And here's what it is. This is your discipline. You got to practice preaching the truth to yourself. You got that? Say it with me. You got to practice preaching the truth to yourself. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't preach at me. Say it to him. Don't preach at me. Say, preach to yourself. There you go. I don't need you to preach at me. Preach to yourself. And this is actually so incredibly important because believe it or not, you are the most influential person in your life. Right? Think about it. Every decision that ever went horrible, at some point you convince yourself it was a great idea. Maybe everybody else said this is a horrible idea, but you persuaded yourself, right? No one is more persuasive in your life than you. My preaching could never be as effective as your preaching to yourself. And what Christians have done for thousands of years, and what the people of God have done for thousands of years, is they've learned this art of preaching the truth to themselves, about learning to say, where is God at in the middle of all of this? And what can I know is true about him? And what do I know is true about what he wants to do in me and through me and for me? And how can I fix my eyes and my heart and my mind on that? I'm not going to live fixing my eyes and preaching my fears. I'm going to live fixing my eyes and preaching to myself the truth and reality of God. Because think about how this could have played out for David. In this moment when David got back and his wives and his daughters are gone and all his men are, same deal. Imagine what he could have preached to himself in that moment. David, you are an absolute failure. Right? I mean, that message, it felt like there was credibility to that. Everything we love, everything we fight for is gone. And David, it's your fault. You're the leader. These people trusted you, right? David could have had this conversation with himself. Maybe it sounds familiar in our own lives. David, what made you think you could ever step up and do this? David, you have dug a hole that there is no way you can ever get out of this. How about this? David could have preached this to himself. David, I don't know what you did to tick God off, but he must have abandoned you, right? I mean, if God loved you, David, he wouldn't let all of this terrible stuff happen. If he loved you, he's abandoned you. He's forsaken. David could have easily preached that to himself, couldn't he? And couldn't he look at his circumstances and say, you know what, that all seems to actually make a lot of sense. And he could have believed that that was the voice of truth. And I can guarantee that if he lived from that perspective in that moment, he would not have gotten out of that moment. You with me on that? It would have ruined him. He may have come to the point where he just said, yeah, you're right, guys. Just get those stones because I don't know what to do. I failed you. I can't do anything right. I'm absolutely, God's done with me. I'm done with me. He could have gotten there, but he didn't. Because then we don't know the details of this, but we see so many times in the Psalms where David does this very thing where he preaches the truth about God to himself. And I don't know exactly what he said in that moment. You saw it's only one verse. We don't get all the details there. But something in David said, no, no, no. These circumstances are atrocious. I can't figure this out. But I'm not alone in this. And the God who has helped me in every stage of my journey, I'm counting on to help me now. And that he'll help me and he'll give me what I need. So I can help lead these men and get our families back and be at a better place. And I don't know what all those conversations look like, but something in him preached, I believe, in that moment, the truth to himself. That's what we need to do. And let me give you an example of what this can look like. Psalm 118, this is one of David's writings, and it's not this moment, but it's similar to that. David in this moment is overwhelmed by life, and he's surrounded by all kinds of people and obstacles that he can't figure out, that he doesn't have the power to overcome. And look what he says. This is preaching the truth to yourself. Look what he says. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. If you feed your mind with that right there, when you're overwhelmed, when you're struggling, when you're feeling knocked back and beaten down, and you begin to feed your mind with a truth like that, it will create a new atmosphere. You with me on this? The Lord is my strength and my song. The Amalekites, they've taken everything from me. But I still know this. The Lord is my strength and my song. He will fight for me. He will help me. I just need to depend on him in this moment. Not give up hope. I need to just keep trusting in him. I just need to keep taking the next right step and following him. He preached himself the truth. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. And so what are these ideas he's talking to himself? When I preach the truth to myself, the Lord is my strength and song and salvation. It creates a sense that he is good. He wants to help me. And I can depend and trust in him. This moment like this happened to me a few weeks ago. I was just coming home and I was just feeling like overwhelmed, trying to figure some things out for our church. And I just felt like this is beyond my capacity and ability. And it was starting to stress me out. It was creating that atmosphere of where I just was feeling paralyzed by worry. I know none of you have ever felt that way before, but sometimes I feel that way. And I was just feeling it in a real way. And then all of a sudden, I felt like God just kind of led me down a new way of thinking. And it was just a simple idea of what David is saying. No, the Lord is my help. I don't have to figure this all out. I don't have to do this alone. Every good thing in my life has come from the hand of God, not because I was smarter or better or figured anything out more than anyone else. It was just the grace of God. And guess what? Every good thing in my future is going to be because the Lord is good and he's gracious and he cares about me. So you know what? I guess I don't really need to feel the weight of this like I'm feeling because of the truth of who God is. You with me on this? And when you preach the truth to yourself, it changes the atmosphere. But it's got to be the truth. And the best place to find the truth is the scripture. Is to look into that and to see what God has said is true, no matter what our circumstances look like. Sometimes you look at your circumstances and you probably feel like David, God, how could you love me and let this happen? That's an insecurity. And if you let that be the thing that your mind is feeding on, it won't help you. But the truth is that nothing, Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. That nothing, no circumstance in your life, no matter how ugly or difficult it is, means that God has removed his love from your life. And you got to feed on that truth. And it will help you. And it will give you a new atmosphere. Let's just talk about this second idea in this verse real again, where it says the Lord does valiantly and the Lord exalts. And David is reminding himself in this moment. He's saying, it's God who protects my life and it's God who promotes my life. He does valiantly. He acts courageously. He protects like a mighty warrior. He fights a good fight for me that I can't fight for myself, but he also exalts. If I entrust my life to him, I don't have to worry about doing a self-promotion campaign. I don't have to get all frustrated at work when other people get the credit for work that I've done because the Lord promotes. I don't have to worry about putting myself as number one and being driven by selfish ambition because the Lord promotes. And at the right time, he'll move me to where I need to be if I just focus on staying connected to him. Preaching the truth to yourself. It matters. It's powerful. When we're at work and people take credit for work that we've done and you're like, man, those dirty dogs. If only everyone knew, and then you begin to feed on that, and you begin to feed on sort of jealousy and anger and frustration, and then what happens? It creates an ugly atmosphere in you, doesn't it? But what if you fed on what David is saying? The Lord promotes. That was annoying, but I'm going to keep honoring God. I'm going to keep working with integrity. I'm going to keep giving my absolute best. And God will take care of my promotion. God will take care of where the credit needs to go. And I trust that to him. And there's so many different ways where if we preach the truth to ourselves, it will radically change how we react and how we respond to the tough times in life. That makes sense? But you got to preach the truth to yourself. So here's what I'm asking you to do through this sermon series. If you just look in your bulletin real quick, there's a little card with this sermon or this text on it. Psalm 118, just a couple verses. Lord is my help and my song and my salvation. And what I want you to do, because one of the most powerful ways to begin this practice of preaching the truth to yourself is to memorize some scripture. Because when you memorize it, it becomes a beautiful ribeye steak that you can feast on with a side of some grilled broccoli. Come on, that's good. On the grill, it's good. And some pumpkin pie. I don't know. But it becomes something that can feed your soul some really good stuff. So I want to challenge you in this next week to bring that with you and just repeat it in your mind like a playlist. Put it on repeat. I'm going to keep saying this to myself. I'm going to think about it and challenge yourself even to memorize it. And don't say, I'm so bad at memorizing, Chet. I did really bad in school. Because again, that's what you sound like when you talk like that. I sleep in a drawer. Yeah, you should. No, I don't know what that means. But anyway, don't put the effort to it. If a doctor told you, hey, if you don't change your diet in a matter of weeks, your body is going to die, you would make some changes. And God is saying to us, if you don't change what you're feeding your mind, you're killing your spirit. You're killing your potential. You're killing the work that I want to do in you and through you. So we need to change our diet and let it accumulate to create a powerful and a healthy and a God-honoring atmosphere in our lives. Make sense? And just imagine this for a moment. Last thing I'll say, just imagine this. If you were on a new diet of truth, and every day you began this practice of preaching the truth of God to yourself, imagine how different life would be. Maybe none of your circumstances would change, but you would become radically different. And you would bring the reality of God into those moments, and you would bring a healthy soul into the struggles of life. And it would be a good thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you give us truth that we can feed on, truth that can set us free, truth that can renew our minds so that we can know what your will is, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Today, Father, I pray we can just recognize whatever unhealthy patterns we're living with. Ways that we're just feeding on lies and misinformation, and we're letting our fears and our insecurities dictate our well-being and our responses. And Father, I pray that you could just teach us to preach to ourselves. That, Father, the truth of God could get into our hearts and into our minds in a real and a powerful way. And I pray it would create a new atmosphere in our relationships, in our families, in our marriages, in our places of work, in our church, Lord, in everywhere that we go. And I pray you would be honored through it. In Jesus' good name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.